CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Gerrard. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we're going to talk about the world's greatest disasters. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
And remember, Phil, it's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rates in some of these disasters, is it?
No.
Just interested in finding out what went wrong, as always. And I reckon, Phil, if this came on the news, you'd be pretty interested.
Dead interested.
What are we talking about this week?
We are talking about the Bradford sweet poisoning.
The problem was that many cleaning products are toxic, and they have to be. That's how they have their cleaning effects. But they were stored and sold in very similar packages. So you would go to the shop and get a box that contained something like baking soda, which we would use to bake bread or cakes and is perfectly harmless, but it would make it look very similar to the box of caustic soda. And so it was this problem with the packaging that really forced legislation to make packages much more distinct, so different shaped and sized and coloured bottles and boxes, so that you couldn't reach for the flour and pick up the arsenic.
I'm really looking forward to this one. A, because what the fuck?
Yeah.
And B, I like doing ones that no one's ever heard of.
Oh, that's my favourite ones.
So let's get right into it, I think. The Bradford sweet poisoning of 1858. I mean, it's evocative immediately, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I want it to be like the Bradford sweet poisoning.
Oh, I think it will be.
Oh, really? Brilliant. Yeah. What was it?
It was the poisoning of more than 200 people in Bradford when sweets accidentally made with arsenic was sold from a market stall. Now, we shouldn't laugh, but you know what, how do you accidentally make sweets? Well, we'll find out. Accidentally made sweets out of arsenic.
You know, like,
mad.
You know when both of us are trying to find disasters, you see one and you go, ah, maybe. You see another one and you go, ah, maybe. But when I saw poisoning of 200 people in Bradford with sweets made from arsenic, I was like, yep. And on the list.
You sent it to me. I was like, oh, that couldn't be more perfect.
When did it happen?
It happened in October 1858.
And how many people died?
21, at least 10 of whom were under 10 years old.
Okay,
so
it's not all fun and frolics.
No.
So, you, as usual, trigger warning, this one does include the death of children.
Mm.
But 1858, long time ago.
Yes.
So, a little bit of reverence.
A little bit of reverence, yeah. Okay. But it's a very unusual topic.
Okay, so for any international listeners, explain Bradford.
Bradford, it's a city in the north of England, about 200 miles north of London.
Yep.
Population, 350,000. Could well be a shithole, I don't know.
Oh.
I've not been there for many years.
Bradford's a nice city. I like Bradford.
Is it? Okay.
Yes, I used to live in Leeds, so
right.
Bradford's very close to Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
Best curries in Britain. Well, good curries.
Good curries.
But the thing is, you say best curries in Britain, then you know, Manchester, Birmingham, Glasgow, they've all got really great
Brick
curries.
Lane.
Brick Lane.
Hove.
There's a lot. Has Hove got good curry houses?
They're all the same, aren't they?
That's Bradford now. What was it like in 1858?
Well, picture the scene, Phil. It's Victorian England.
Ooh, lovely.
So we all know what that's like, don't we?
Misty, smoggy.
Four-year-old chimney sweeps.
Yeah.
Bursting into song at any opportunity.
Oh, I missed that.
Saucy prostitutes at every foggy corner offering you favours for a shilling.
Yeah, that's right.
The men.
Toothless Lil.
Yeah, Toothless Lil. Dirty Karen. That sounds a bit more.
Dirty Karen.
More
that's
recent.
Much more. That's 80s, Dirty Karen. Toothless Lil is more 1850s, isn't
that's
it?
True. Yeah. The men all got off to war in red tunics to kill Africans.
Oh, yeah, so they're all off being slaughtered by Zulus,
yes,
I suppose.
Yes, yes. Queen Victoria dressed in black and looking miserable.
God bless her.
That's Victoria Bradford. Victoria England for you.
We've still got a few years before the Ripper, though.
Oh, yes. Everything comes back to that with Phil.
Not long till the Ripper.
Not long. Right. In Bradford, in 1858, there was a chap called William Hardacre.
Lovely.
He was known to the locals as Humbug Billy. We haven't had many cool names in this disaster podcast. We had quite a few in the Donner Party, but Humbug Billy is
Humbug
my favourite person.
Great, yeah. Do you think Humbug Billy would be like, oh, am I? I'm Humbug Billy. Or is he like, Humbug Billy's the name?
Oh, I think he's the first.
Humbug Billy!
He sold sweets from a stall in the centre of town.
Humbug Billy!
Where there's now an Arndale, to be precise.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah.
It's the start of the musical, isn't he? Yeah. There he goes, Humbug Billy, on his way to the sweet shop like every other day.
Sounds to me like you very much want David Essex to be in your musical.
What are you talking about? That's the bog standard musical voice, isn't it?
Humbuggery,
humbuggery, humbuggeroo.
Well, Humbug Billy, is important to say, he just sold the sweets.
Okay.
He didn't make them, wasn't talented enough.
He was a vendor.
He was a vendor. And he bought his stock from a chap just a few hundred metres up the road.
Cool.
That chap was the sweet maker Joseph Neal. Now, what particularly concerns us here is the peppermint humbugs that Joseph Neal was making. These were made of peppermint oil mixed with gum and sugar.
Okay.
But with the, remember Victorian era, sugar in those days was still a little bit of a luxury, quite expensive.
Yeah, a bit classy.
Yeah, so Neal substituted sugar with something called powdered gypsum, known in the trade as daff or daft.
So is it sweet?
A powdered gypsum, yes.
What the hell is it?
Well, if you just let me finish, we'll come to that.
Okay.
You're like my mum watching telly. You say something. What's that then? What's that then? You're like, well, just let it, let things.
I'm interested.
Let things develop and you'll find out all your answers.
Oh, I went to powdered gypsum. Is it sweet? I said, is it sweet?
Right. This dodgy practice of mixing food with cheaper substances was quite common at the time. And those who did it used obscure nicknames for the stuff like daft, multim, or flash to hide the practice. I'm not sure how much some bloke telling me that one of my foods contained... That's just got a bit of flash in it, mate. That wouldn't put me at ease.
Yeah, it's got a bit of Ajax in it. Is that because it's illegal? And they don't want people to know...
Yeah, you don't really want to know what it actually is. Oh, yeah, that's got peppermint essence, gum, and a bit of flash and daft in it, mate.
Yeah, flash and daft.
You go, yeah, all right.
Yeah, whatever.
Right then, so you've badgered me enough. Do you want to know what powdered gypsum is?
I'm not asked now. Not asked. Yes, what's powdered gypsum?
It is a natural product found in deposits all over the world. It begins as a soft white mineral rock and is processed to make a dry powder. Naturally occurring gypsum is composed of calcium, sulfur, oxygen and hydrogen. Gypsum powder is most commonly used in building materials, such as plaster of Paris.
Right.
The interior of the Great Pyramids of Giza are covered in gypsum.
It's clay.
Yeah.
It's essentially clay.
Yeah. It's also...
Which is mud.
It doesn't sound that inviting to eat, does it? But it's also used in agriculture as a fertiliser.
Oh, that's all right then. And this isn't even the poison. This is this is what went into humbugs that were good to eat. Yeah.
But to be fair, it can also be used as a food additive to enhance the texture of ingredients in processed foods. It's still used today. It's an ingredient in toothpaste.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it sounds grim, but in small amounts, it is actually generally considered safe for humans and is still quite, like I say, still quite widely used in a number of foods.
So what's the big problem then? Old Humbug Billy, well, not Humbug Billy, actually, it's...
Joseph Neal.
Old Joseph Neal shoveling clay into his sweeties, just generally, and no one's complaining. What happened? Why is it a problem?
Well, it's a problem because all went a bit wrong when Humbug Billy placed his, I'm guessing, final order for mint humbugs with Joseph Neal.
Yeah.
On that occasion, Joseph Neal sent James Archer, a lodger who lived at his house, to collect... daft for the humbugs from the chemist shop of a man called Charles Hodgson.
Right.
Now, that pharmacy was 3 miles away.
So, Humbug Billy...
He's put an order in for mint humbugs for Joseph Neal, the sweet
Joseph
maker.
Joseph Neal needs to make some mint humbugs. Mm-hmm. So, he sends essentially some bastard...
Who he lives with. Yeah.
...to a chemist to buy...
Plaster of Paris.
Just so you're following this.
What could go wrong?
Right.
Now, Hodgson, the owner of the pharmacy, he was at the pharmacy that day, but he didn't serve Archer because he was ill in bed because it's the Victorian era.
Yeah.
So he probably had TB, gout.
Touch of consumption,
something like that.
One of those big hot water bottles on his head, probably.
So instead, the Plaster of Paris requests were seen to by Hodgson's young assistant, a chap called William Goddard.
The normal chain of command has broken down. It's
completely broken down. This very rigid chain of command is an important task.
In the sweet industry.
Making mint humbugs. So the chemist's assistant, Goddard, he asked old Hodgson, the owner of the chemist shop, who's ill in bed, where the daft was. And he was told that it was in an unmarked cask in the corner of the attic. However, Goddard went to the wrong corner of the attic... and therefore the wrong barrel.
Right.
He promptly sold Archer 5.4 kilograms of arsenic trioxide.
Okay.
Now, anyone with a brain knows that anything with the word arsenic in it is a bit of a worry.
Yes.
But, Phil, what exactly is arsenic trioxide?
Well, it's arsenic, essentially.
The inheritor's powder.
Oh, is that...
That's a great name.
It's because you want to inherit, and so you pop a bit of arsenic into the tea, and then you've inherited the...
The inheritor's powder.
That's quite good, because it's used in murder a lot.
Good name for a book.
Yes, the inheritor's powder is a great name for a book, isn't it? Arsenic. We all know what arsenic is, don't we? If you've read any Agatha Christie, you know what arsenic is. It's very bad if taken in sufficient amounts.
And sufficient amounts are not actually very much, are they?
No. I don't think you need to take very much to die at all,
no,
do you,
I
arsenic?
Don't think you do.
For some people, it was and is the poison of choice for murder or suicide. I wouldn't know where to get it now. I guess like slug killer or something.
I think since this disaster, it's been a little bit better regulated.
You can't just have it in your attic.
Yeah. Unmarked.
Next to a box that says, for the kids. For the kids, not for the kids. In Victorian Britain, arsenic featured in 237 poisoning cases. Terribly Moorish for the murder.
Very big.
So 237 cases came to the English courts. The second most common substance, opium, which is a much more fun drug, trailed a long way behind with just 52 cases.
So popular, bit of arsenic in Victorian Britain.
They loved it, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Tell you what, we've got an ageing population at the moment, haven't we? Perhaps it's time to deregulate.
Stop it now.
Come on.
Stop it.
Are you not telling there's a couple of people who've been sat watching the television for the last 10 years we could do without? We've got an important Brexit vote coming up. Is it time to deregulate arsenic?
Oh, you're a disgusting man.
It was a popular topic in Victorian Britain.
It really was, arsenic. They loved it.
In fact, a London newspaper, The Leader, wrote about it in 1855. Phil?
I will only say this if you put some creepy Victorian music underneath this.
Oh, like this, like before?
Okay. If you feel a deadly sensation within and grow gradually weaker, how do you know you are not being poisoned? If your hands tingle, do you not fancy it is arsenic? Your friends and relations all smile kindly upon you. The meal looks correct, but how can you possibly tell there is not arsenic in the curry?
That's lovely, that.
Thanks very much.
I like that. It's very good.
Talking about arsenic, prominent Nazis who are about to be caught or hanged, they chose cyanide rather than arsenic, didn't they?
Cyanide is not very nice. Like, dying of cyanide poisoning is extremely painful.
Whereas arsenic, it's pleasant.
I think
it's quick, though, isn't it?
The thing about cyanide is it's quick.
Very quick.
And I think one of the reasons Nazis and, like, spies, why they have the cyanide capsule, is because there's no time to, like, pump your stomach or, like, give you anything. You're dead in seconds, right? That's why the Nazis liked it so much. Very efficient. I love that.
The choice of the efficient racist.
Okay. Commercially, though, arsenic's not just for poisoning old women. Right? Just in case you thought it was. Arsenic can be used in lots of ways that aren't murderous.
Oh, like?
Forestry, wood preserver.
Oh, okay.
And surprisingly enough, it's a cancer drug used to cure leukemia.
Blimey.
It's actually quite useful, I think.
You've got to be ill, really ill.
To have arsenic.
Prescribed as, this will make you better.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Arsenic.
Pumping another poison in, because the poison you've got is pretty bad.
Oh, God.
In that instance, it's taken as a drip into the bloodstream.
Oh, okay.
They don't put it in your milk. And stir it in your milk and then push it across the table.
Or your mint humbug.
Okay, would you like to know, Phil, some of the people who have died or reported to have died from arsenic poisoning?
Oh, go on then.
George III. A 2004 study of samples of the king's hair revealed extremely high levels of arsenic. They were trying to get rid of him because he was mad as a brush.
I think he was, wasn't he? Yeah.
So any way of getting him off the throne before he pressed the nuclear button. It has been suggested that the source of the arsenic could have been in the mineral used to treat the king as consistent ill health.
Yes, because of course arsenic comes from mining, doesn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I went to a tin mine recently in Cornwall.
Yeah.
One of the byproducts of the mining tin is arsenic.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's in the mineral. In fact, so much arsenic, they set up a separate arsenic factory next door.
Napoleon Bonaparte?
Oh, yes.
It has been suggested that Napoleon suffered and died from arsenic poisoning during his imprisonment on the island of St. Helena. Oh. Not tonight, Josephine, because I'm dying of arsenic. Forensic samples of his hair did show high levels. It's all in the hair, I guess.
You can get loads from hair. That's really? Why celebrities, when they have massive coke addictions and there's some legal thing coming up, that's why they all shave their hair off so they can't be traced.
You are kidding me.
No.
That's a great fact. How do you know that?
Well,
doesn't matter how you know it. It's a great fact.
Just know about chemicals and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, because if, for example, you've got, say you're a celebrity and you've gone off the rails a bit and you've got like a paternity suit coming up, or you're being sued by a management company and they could get, by say, yeah, they're completely high on drugs, so they'd,
yeah,
this will have an effect. They just shave their hair off.
That's brilliant. Mm. I'm totally going to look back at people who did that.
Mm. I can think of a couple off the top of my head, but I'm not going to say them because I don't want to be libelous in case they wanted a fashion choice.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. From,
really? Of course. Mm. Mm. This is incredible.
Yeah. Anyway, don't say those on the podcast.
Oh, why not?
Well,
I'll bleep them out.
It's allegedly. Yeah.
Oh, can you say allegedly?
No, just bleep them out.
But that's amazing. Mm. 13 times the normal amount of arsenic Napoleon Bonaparte had in his hair.
Wow.
But that's not really conclusive, to be fair.
Oh, okay, why?
To suggest he was poisoned. Because at the time, arsenic was found in films like wallpaper paint.
Oh, so was he just a wall licker?
Just a wall licker. That's another interesting fact that I've got. That's why green used to be considered an unlucky colour. It's because it used to have arsenic in it to make the green pigment.
Oh,
so
okay.
People who painted their rooms green would die.
Give me someone else.
Eric, the X1V... of Sweden.
Okay.
Hang on. 10-4. Eric the 14th of Sweden died in 1577 after someone put arsenic in his pea soup.
Oh, the rascal.
Rascals.
Pea soup as well.
You must not be able to taste it then. It must be completely...
colourless, odourless.
It's such a good poison that it seems a shame not to be going around poisoning people, don't you think? Don't you think? I mean, I bet it's very... You know the Poisoner's Handbook, that guy?
Mm.
I could see it being terribly Moorish.
It's interesting. It work once. In the old podcast, Ultimate Scrutiny, I did come across as quite the bad person.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the reasons they've all now been deleted. but in this one, in this podcast, you are a bad man.
What are you talking about?
You're talking about poisoning people like it's pleasurable.
I bet it would be that.
There are a few people I would quite happily take out. Yeah.
I mean, it depends, doesn't it?
Get back to our story, Phil.
Old James Archer.
He is the lodger of the sweetmaker.
Okay, so he's the lodger who's gone to get the stuff from the ill chemist.
Yes.
Okay. James Archer goes back to the sweetmaker, Joseph Neal.
Yep.
With 5 kilograms of arsenic that everyone actually thinks is gypsum powder.
I bet that's never happened anywhere in the world ever.
I don't know, you know. I bet it's quite easy to mix up drugs. Do you not think? I mean, especially if you haven't labelled the fuckers.
But a sugar substitute. I mean, 5 kilograms of arsenic instead of a sugar substitute.
You'd think
is
you'd
hard
be able to tell.
Well, no. Arsenic in its sort of powdered form just looks like a white powder. It doesn't look any different.
Oh, easy mistake to make.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think my understanding is once they were back at the sweet factory, nobody knew. It's just a harmless looking powder. It's like flour. Or sugar.
What a killer.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Now, this batch of fatal sweets was actually made by another employee at the sweet factory.
Oh, okay.
A chap named James Appleton. This is cool because what happens is you just got to make a little mistake and then it's in the system.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's in there.
Yeah.
Ghost in the machine. Can't tell. Can't separate it from all the other bits of whatever the fuck they were putting in sweets.
Once the killer humbugs
are out there.
Floor
shavings and old bits of ground up pig's hooves. James Appleton didn't notice anything untoward during the sweet-making process at all.
Mm.
He did say, though, that he thought the finished product looked different from the usual humbugs.
That's underselling it.
Yeah, they were green and smoking. I'm sure they're fine. Appleton suffered symptoms of illness during the sweet-making process.
Oh, yeah.
Licking his fingers, I expect.
Yeah.
He was ill for several days afterwards with vomiting and pain in his hands and arms. This shit is strong, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
But he didn't realise he was being poisoned by arsenic.
It wouldn't be your first conclusion if you became ill.
No, you wouldn't, would you? I mean, the pain in your hands and arms, you'd be wondering what the fuck was going on.
Mm.
But no, I don't think you would connect it. It would take a huge leap of the imagination.
Yeah, if I had a packet of crisps and started to become ill, I wouldn't go, oh, the crisps have got arsenic in.
They've been laced with arsenic.
Yeah, I'd go, oh, I've probably got a cold coming on.
Which is one of the reasons I'm going to lace your crisps with arsenic. So what happened to the humbugs, these deadly humbugugugs?
Okay.
Humbuggery, humbuggery.
18 kilograms of mint humbugs were immediately sold to Humbug Billy.
Yep.
Now, Humbug Billy, he was no fool.
Oh, yeah.
He also noticed that these sweets looked a bit unusual because they had a slightly weird colour.
Bright green.
Yeah. Now, he used this to try and obtain a discount from Joseph Neal, the sweet maker. And he succeeded. He got half a penny off per pound because they looked weird.
Oh, God.
So, satisfied with his negotiating skills,
yeah.
Humbug Billy chalked that one up as a win,
yeah.
Promptly tasted one of the sweets and became ill.
He's essentially bought suicide pills.
Yes. But the thing is, he became ill, he didn't make the connection, it didn't stop him, and that night, he sold 2.3 kilograms of the sweets from his market stall.
I mean, but like I say, you wouldn't know, because arsenic poisoning, and we're going to come on to what that's like, right? But arsenic poisoning isn't specific, is it? It's not like, that's a bit of arsenic poisoning I've got there.
No.
You know, you don't get like a telltale rash or...
No, like chicken pox.
Not like chicken pox or something, is it? Yeah. You feel generally unwell, I guess. So you wouldn't know.
Now, of those who purchased Humbug Billy's sweets and ate them, 21 people died and a further 200 or so became severely ill with arsenic poisoning within a day or so.
Yeah, because he's selling suicide pills.
And another thing, as an aside, this is horrible. The sweets were sold in packets of 10 or 12.
Right.
Which is why so many people in one single family died or fell ill from them, because they're all having a go.
Handing them out?
Yeah.
Little bowl in the... Imagine that, little bowl in the middle of the room.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shit sweet in the modern age, a mint humbug. But in the Victorian era...
No one goes for a mint humbug anymore. Yeah,
you get excited by it, wouldn't you?
I guess they haven't got a great deal. They haven't got opal fruits. We haven't got opal fruits now. Old am I, Jesus Christ. They haven't got Starburst, have they?
No. Phil, we cannot brush over this. What is arsenic poisoning like?
Symptoms of arsenic poisoning, and you want to listen to this, Phil.
Okay.
Because if we have a fallout,
yeah, okay.
This is what you're looking for.
Right.
Okay? Basically, what's happened is I've turned up unannounced and some pretext or whatever. Oh, I was in the area. I just wondered if you fancied a packet of crisps. I tell you what I'd do. Sweet and sour chicken.
Oh,
that's what I'd do.
Well, I'd say no. I'm a vegetarian now.
Yeah, but how long is that going to last? I'm going to wait. And I might even surprise you. Like when you've gone back to eating meat, I'll be like, wicked, come round for dinner. We're having sweet and sour chicken. Might taste a little bit weird. It's old. Don't worry about tasting weird. So your sweet and sour chicken... After you've eaten that, Phil,
yes,
and we've said goodbye, first of all, you're going to feel a bit headachy.
Okay.
But that's okay. You've spent the evening with me. You're going to feel a bit headachy.
That's normal.
You're going to have confusion.
Again, normal.
Again, normal. Severe diarrhea. Again, normal. And drowsiness.
Totally normal.
All symptoms of having spent the evening with me. Okay.
Yeah.
But, Phil, as your sweet and sour arsenic poisoning develops, convulsions and changes in fingernail pigmentation
make...
That's
a weird one, isn't it?
I guess they get darker or something, don't they? When the poisoning becomes acute, your symptoms are going to include diarrhea, vomiting, vomiting blood.
Oh, gee.
Blood in the urine. Oof. Cramped muscles. Ooh. Hair loss. Stomach pain. And more convulsions.
Ooh, that's horrible.
So it's, you know,
it's
the Exorcist.
Really grim.
Literally the Exorcist. You're like pissing blood and diarrhea out of every orifice in your head. The organs of your body, Phil, that will be affected by the arsenic poisoning will be your lungs.
Oof.
You use them, don't you?
I use those a lot.
Those days.
Yeah.
Your skin, you're very attached to that.
I like that.
Kidneys and liver.
Oh, the big ones.
The big ones. I don't think you've given your kidneys and liver much love over the years. The final result of arsenic poisoning is coma and death.
It is not a quick end, is it?
No, it's not very nice. So, yes, I think you're right. The Nazis were probably wise to choose cyanide over arsenic humbugs.
Clever Nazis.
Clever. So what happened next? All my customers are dying. Shitting blood. Shitting blood.
I think we should genuinely do this musical.
should we write a musical called Shitting Blood? the Humbug Billy story.
If you can take a wonderful piece of classic literature like Les Miserables
yeah.
and you can turn that into some syrupy musical for tourists. We can do that with this.
Done. And I am serious. I have never been more serious. So what happened next, Phil? You got people in Bradford eating humbugs and dying. This can't go on, can it?
Too right it can't, Phil. And I'll tell you exactly what happened next. But to do that, I'm going to read directly from the 4th of November 1858 issue of the Bradford Observer. The most dreadful calamity that perhaps ever befell this district has occurred within the last few days. The careless and negligent use of a deadly poison, arsenic, has had the unhappy result already of depriving no fewer than 20 persons of life and of filling innumerable homes throughout a wide district with suffering, mourning and woe.
We had so much more decorum, didn't we, in those days?
We were better writers.
It'd be the front page of the Sun and it'd just go, fuck! Arsenic, Jesus Christ!
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautifully written for such a suffering, mourning and woe.
Much more. They were much better at writing, weren't they, in those days?
Definitely. Yeah. And I think this next paragraph proves it. On Sunday morning, two instances of sudden death were reported at the Borough Police Station. Two boys, one 9 years of age and one 11, were reported to have died suddenly. The coincidence, considering the early years of these persons, was certainly an alarming one, duly considered. But as there was apparently no grounds for suspecting anything unnatural in the incident of these sudden deaths, the fact was duly chronicled in the records of police station without any grave alarm being excited. Am I being disrespectful reading that like that?
No, I don't think so.
You don't?
No, I don't think so. Also, I think one of the reasons for this is that in this period, children are dying willy-nilly. You know, people are having 12 kids expecting seven of them to die.
Absolutely.
They're putting them up chimneys, do you know what I mean? They're shooting them out of cannons. Like, infant mortality is very high at this point. So, yes, two boys dying, you know, it wouldn't be like now where you would be like, what the fuck? It would be, you know...
Oh, there's another one.
Some more children have died.
Yeah. Oh, God, pile them up. Right, back to the newspaper. As the day wore on, however, the circumstances provoked the fitting suggestion as to the immediate cause which had thus violently stricken down such early boyhood. Sudden deaths were rapidly multiplying on every side, and it was also stated that there was a sudden and violent illness in many a household which death had already filled with melancholy.
Oh, that's lovely.
It seemed for a brief period in some districts as if a dreadful plague had smitten us.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Isn't it nicely written?
It literally...
It's Dickensian.
Dickensian, yeah.
A violent illness in many a household which death had already filled with melancholy.
Isn't that lovely?
So, the police were very concerned now, having originally thought it was most likely cholera.
Which would be worse. Much worse.
Of that going around at the time.
I mean, once Billy's sweets are gone, it'll stop. But cholera is going to kill a lot of people. Mm. So you'd be over the moon to find out it was arsenic rather than cholera.
Yeah. Oh, at least it's containable.
Thank God for that.
Shall I continue from the Bradford Observer?
Yes.
The attention of the police officers was closely attracted to the circumstances, and several officers were soon engaged in an endeavour to ascertain the cause of so much sudden illness and death. In one house, Jowett Street, two fine boys named Barons lay dead, and several persons residing in the same dwelling were suffering severely from illness, which was accompanied with violent and frequent vomiting. They had all during the day eaten some peppermint lozenges, and though there had been some doubts upon the point, it was ultimately agreed by all hands that the peppermint lozenges had been the cause of the illness and death. Mr. Burniston, one of the detectives, was satisfied as to the cause of the increasing calamity. I do feel I'm being disrespectful.
Nah.
All right, okay, we'll crack on. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be, but if I'm reading something in that beautiful Victorian prose, I feel you have to read it
in a certain
way. Well, you
can't go in one house on Jowett Street, two fine boys named Barons lay dead.
Which is arguably probably exactly how a policeman would recount that.
That's right.
Right. Anyway.
So, what did PC Burniston do, Phil?
Ah, well, he promptly went round to Humbug Billy's house to see, you know... This is the trail that he's been led to. Someone said, oh, I got those from Humbug Billy.
Yeah.
So he's gone round Humbug Billy's house.
No help from Poirot whatsoever. Did it on his own.
Good old PC Burniston. Yeah. Do you know what he found?
What?
Humbug Billy lying ill there from eating one of his own sweets. Now, They managed to have a little bit of a chat with him, despite him being ill, and the facts came out, which, of course, led back to the chemist,
yep.
and therefore the chemist's assistant, old William Goddard, who'd gone up into the loft and had sold 5 kilograms of arsenic instead of plaster of Paris, daft, by mistake. Goddard, the assistant, the chemist, was duly arrested.
Cool.
Because at the time, you wouldn't know whether that was deliberate. He could say, oh, no, it was an accident. You don't know whether he's some mental poisoner.
I mean... I was going to say, even as an accident, he's culpable, but he's not been told there's arsenic up there. If the chemist went, it's up there on the left, but don't do the one on the right because that's got arsenic in it. But if you just go, you wouldn't just assume. If I somebody told me to go up into the loft and get a pot down, right, I wouldn't assume the other pots contained arsenic.
You would think you'd be specifically warned.
If there's something up there that's dangerous, then it's not up to you to know that.
No, but I also understand why the police arrested him,
yes.
because it's his story against dead people.
Yeah, good point.
They've got to find the facts out.
They've got to find the facts
That's what the police do. That's what they're so good at.
We've got to find the facts out.
That's one of the songs, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I reckon, I think PC Burniston would probably, I think he would be a good character in our musical.
Played by Jimmy Nail.
I'm PC Burniston.
We got to find the facts out.
We got to find the facts out. What am I doing here?
So, Goddard, the chemist assistant, has been duly arrested.
Yes.
Till they can work out what's been occurring. And we'll now pick up the Bradford Observer again. Energetic steps were immediately taken to publish the facts of the incident far and wide in order to induce caution and safety. Police officers carried the sad news into their beats. The quiet slumbers of innumerable persons were broken at midnight by the bellman's warning. As soon as daylight dawned, the walls of the town and district were thickly covered with an official precaution from the chief constable. The excitement and alarm on Monday morning was intense, and it has continued to increase from day to day as the reports of death and illness have begun to multiply.
Lovely.
Yes, so they've made people, they found out roughly what's occurred.
Yeah.
And they've done everything they can to stop people eating the humbugs and make them aware of the situation. And really, that was it, I guess. Once you found out what the cause of it was, the only people that are going to be affected are the people who've already had them.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess they've probably taken them off Humbug Billy, the remaining stock.
Yep.
They patted him on the head, said, get well soon.
Yep.
And they've gone about their business.
And everybody else has thrown their humbugs out into the street.
Mm.
Done.
So needless to say, there was a court case, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
This. Tell me about it.
Well, nobody at the time knew it wasn't a deliberate poisoning. It certainly looks like one.
So you had to have a court
case. Because you've baked arsenic into sweets. So it does look deliberate.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't, there was obviously going to be negligence and other complicated legal things involved that need to be going to the bottom of. You can't just be in a situation where it's possible to bake arsenic into sweets for children. So, on the 1st of November, 1858, William Goddard, the chemist's assistant...
Oh, poor old William Goddard.
..stood before the magistrates at the courthouse in Bradford. I do feel slightly sorry for him.
Very sorry for him.
Charles Hodgson, the owner of the chemist's shop, and Joseph Neal, the owner of the sweet factory, were later committed for trial... with Goddard on a charge of manslaughter through negligence.
Ooh.
Seems fair enough. During the trial, Dr. John Bell and Felix Rimington.
Felix Rimington, that's a nice name.
A chemist and analytical chemist.
He's a chemist, but he's also an analytical chemist.
Yeah. Is that not respectively? Is Dr. John Bell a chemist and Felix Rimington is an analytical chemist?
Yeah.
Okay. They were both, anyway, both of these frickin' chemists confirmed that the humbugs contained arsenic.
Ah.
It was estimated that each sweet contained 14 to 15 grains of the deadly substance. 4.5 grains was recognised as a lethal dose.
Wow.
So it was a shitload
they
of arsenic.
Are strong humbugs.
Thus, each sweet sold by Humbug Billy
really?
Would have been enough to kill two people.
Wow.
Wow. Really, it's really, really bad.
They are highly poisonous. Jesus.
It's a really highly poisonous sweet.
Hardcore humbugs.
The total number... I wonder if there was anybody who ate them and just didn't get anything. There's some fucking massive bloke or something who's eating six of them. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Walking around in a T-shirt in winter.
That's right, shitting blood, not giving a fuck. The total number of sweets produced would have been enough to kill at least 2,000 people.
Wow.
Could have been a Holocaust.
Almost makes you wish they'd have sold them all. Because it's such a long time ago.
Well, there is a part of you, well, there's a part of me, certainly, that wants it to get worse. Not, but, you know, not in real life, obviously.
No.
Not now, anyway. The trial didn't last long, though.
Okay.
By the 9th of December, both Joseph Neal and William Goddard were discharged blemish-free.
So that's the sweet maker and the guy who went up to the loft and picked up the arsenic.
They've let him off. Not long after, the trial of Charles Hodgson was halted by the judge after hearing evidence from the chemist assistant, William Goddard.
Ah, yes.
Goddard stated Charles Hodgson was ill in bed when he directed him to where the daft was stored, although he had taken every precaution to direct him to the correct cask in the attic. Well, if one of them's got arsenic in, wouldn't you say, if you're a chemist, wouldn't you say it's there, but there's other stuff up there as well, so bring it to me, I'll check.
Yeah, or like you said earlier, wouldn't you say, oh, don't go to that one.
Definitely don't go there.
Because you'll kill 2,000 people.
Yeah.
if you accidentally load that and make sweets out of it.
Yeah. But over and above all of this, if you had in your house nice sweetie goodness elements and things that will kill 2,000 people, why wouldn't you put the stuff that kills 2,000 people in a different place?
Lock and key.
Put it under lock and key.
Yeah.
Stick it. Have a system. Sweetie goodness in the attic. Mm-hmm. Horrifying poison in the basement.
One of those little signs with a skull.
Yeah, something like that.
What's poison? It's a skull with
it's
two
skull
bones.
Skull and crossbones.
Skull and crossbones.
Yeah.
Skull and
crossbones. Impromptu pirate. The best kind of pirate. Hodgson was then officially found not guilty and released a free man just before Christmas, which is nice.
I
bet nobody was looking forward to opening his presents. Oh, there's some sweets from Uncle Charlie there. Do you want? I'm all right. And so, Phil, the infamous Humbug Billy poisoning case went down in history as a dreadful series of errors for which no one was to blame criminally.
I guess that, as horrible as it is, I guess that's fair.
I think the freaking chemist is to blame.
What, the chemist who was ill in bed with a Victorian illness?
Yeah, unnamed Victorian illness.
What, for not...
The pox.
You see, the court said that he made every precaution. So we don't know the actual wording he used.
Every precaution? If it's possible to pick up sugar or arsenic and not know the difference, he hasn't taken every precaution, has he, surely?
It does seem that way, but, you've got to trust the laws of the country.
And if he has taken every precaution, like he's got one barrel that says, fuck me, this is poisonous, and another barrel that says, sweetie goodness, and the other kid picks the wrong barrel, then it's the kid's fault, and he should have gone down. Surely.
Are you going against the Victorian court?
I'm surprised they're that lenient.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm a little bit surprised, because, I mean, I don't know how you can take every precaution to not sell arsenic and then sell shed loads of it,
yeah.
I have to say.
It seems like a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's the aftermath of this fabulous Victorian case?
Well, the Bradford sweet poisoning led to new legislation in order to protect the public from any similar tragedy. In 1860, the Adulteration of Food and Drink Bill changed the manner by which the ingredients could be used, mixed and combined. The UK Pharmacy Act of 1868 introduced more stringent regulations regarding the handling and selling of named poisons and medicines by chemists. I think that's fair enough.
Yes.
The abolition of the sugar tax in 1874 meant that sugar became much more affordable to all, thus negating the need to replace it with other substances like daft.
But increasing obesity in this country to near epidemic proportions.
Yes, and needing people like Jamie Oliver to come on board and tell us to stop having such things.
But Phil, what happened to Billy?
Ah!
Humbug Billy.
Let me tell you. Billy himself, he received a certain amount of sympathy in the press.
I'm sympathetic to him, didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, he had no real knowledge of what he'd done, and he was almost paralysed himself in the end by eating one of his own arsenic sweets.
He's another one of the victims.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. But and to live with it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that if that had happened to you, that you would feel guilt, even though it wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
And you'd think, I'll clear out of Bradford, I'll start a new life, I'll forget all of that and move on.
Yeah.
But what he did is he went on to continue selling sweets from exactly the same market stall for a further 8 years.
When business, for some reason, slowed down.
You do wonder, don't you? He did that for 8 years and he died in 1866, aged 61.
Okay. Probably quite a good age for the Victorian period.
Yeah, not too bad, actually, but how much trade could he have done?
I suppose the thing is, there's no internet, is there? You know, so no one... It's not like he's Googleable.
Well,
it's got to go word mouth to mouth, isn't it?
Yeah, but stuff mouth to mouth goes sort of in these Victorian... It's all like little whispers. It's all, here, have you heard?
I'm amazed he was...
I'm amazed he kept going.
I mean, if
business.
I was him, I mean, it's incredible that he stayed in Humbugs. I mean, that's ballsy, isn't it? You'd think he'd move to cake or tea or something.
Yeah, something edible, but at least something different. But, you know,
something where you could still use the cart, but the horrifying memory of all the children you killed is sort of wiped out in some way.
It's mad, isn't it?
So that was the absolutely fantastic story. I loved it.
That was good. Horrible, and I'm not sure we've done it the decorum.
But
it's
a long time ago in Plucky Dickensian London.
Bradford.
Did he get up to Bradford much, Dickens, do you think?
I don't think he did. No. What was Dickens? Dickens, London, Rochester, Chatham.
Oh, so he never went up north.
He was all that way.
Okay, so that was the fabulous story of the Bradford sweet poisoning, 1858. Mm. Phil.
Mm.
In the final analysis, God's fault or our fault?
It was the arsenic's fault.
It can't be the arsenic's fault.
I suppose ultimately it's the chemist lying in bed with his Victorian illness, isn't it? For selling it.
Well, let's think
not
about this.
Not so much
this.
Selling it. But
they said, the court said it was none of their fault, didn't they? It didn't give them any blame. So if we're saying it's not the blame of any one individual, I think we're saying it's God's fault. For orchestrating the coincidence.
Ah, he could have been angry with something.
Could have been angry. He's created there a system of a sort of fateful situation, hasn't he, there?
You're blaming God?
I'm blaming God. What do you reckon? No? You can't blame the arsenic.
Yes, an easy get out, though, isn't it?
Well, I did once blame the San Andreas fault. So maybe, okay, fuck it. It was the arsenic's fault.
Yeah.
So that was the Bradford sweet poisoning, Phil. Do you enjoy it?
Yes, if enjoy's the right word, I think so.
I love the Victorian ones.
They're the best, aren't they?
They are the best.
Yeah.
Because they're long enough away for it to be a bit irreverent, and they're bonkers.
They are mad, aren't they?
They are bonkers.
I love the Have you ever seen Victorian Christmas cards? They're mad.
I have seen them on your on your Twitter account. What's the Twitter account with your
Did I put those ones? I put those on at Phil Lucas Alt.
You should follow at Phil Lucas Alt because it's like what's on.
It's kind of geeky stuff. I put history and when I walk around an old church or look at trains and machines. It's very geeky, but
it's great though.
Oh, thank you.
If you want to follow our Twitter account, the Cash Bang Wallop account, and tell us some things about the Bradford sweet poisoning, or tell us off for not taking it seriously enough. Where do they need to contact us for?
We're at CB Wallop on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook. Just put in Crash Bang Wallop. We're also now on Instagram, where we are at Wallop Bang.
Okay, brilliant. So what are we doing next week?
We're going to do the Zeebrugge Herald of Free Enterprise disaster.
Right, so one that we can't really mess around with.
No.
Okay, fine. Well, if you are more a fan of the bleak ones, then join us next week for the Zeebrugge disaster. Up until then, Phil, you got anything to add?
Nothing to add, but if people would like to leave us a review.
Yeah.
I hate having to ask, but A, it's really helpful, and B, we genuinely are chuffed and really appreciate if anyone does leave us an iTunes review.
Yeah, and podcasts work by word of mouth, much like Humbug Billy's stand. So if you want to spread the poison of this podcast, then if you know somebody who listens to podcasts, you like podcasts, if you could recommend us to a friend, that would be fantastic. If every one of our listeners recommends two friends, then we can bump this up to, 30 to 40 listeners, right?
At a push, yeah.
At a push, exponential growth. So please do that. Recommend us to a friend who likes history and or death, disease and poison. That would be absolutely amazing if you could do that. Thank you very much. So until next time, thank you so much for listening to the Crash Bang Wallop podcast. We will see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.